As you were greeted this morning, Joanne told us that this was the 21st Sunday of Ordinary Time. If I had greeted you, I would have called it Welcome to Hard Words Sunday. Hard Words Sunday. Lord, will only a few people be saved? As usual, Jesus doesn't give us a truly straight answer to the question. I wonder if, at least in this case, our Lord is indirect because the nameless person is asking, really is the wrong question. A couple of years ago, the hot question to ask in evangelical Protestant circles and in some Catholic circles as well was, is hell empty or not? Personally, I think this is the wrong question to ask, because much like the question that was posed by our unnamed questioner for our English teacher corner, our anonymous interlocutor of the gospel passage, it distracts us from looking at the real issue, which is how to properly live God's word now so that we don't have to worry about that hell thing later. Several years ago, an evangelical Protestant writer put out a book arguing that if anyone is in hell now, they, along with all people, will eventually be reconciled to God in His heavenly kingdom. This teaching is not a new one. It is sometimes called universal reconciliation or Christian universalism. And there have been theologians, most of them heretics, who have embraced this from virtually the beginning of the Catholic Church. But this teaching really goes against Catholic doctrine, which holds that once a person dies and is condemned to hell, it is an eternal sentence. There is no parole, no return, no further second chance. Well, many evangelicals were upset with this book because even though they don't always have doctrinal uniformity, as we Catholics do, they would call it rigidity, they, by and large, rejected this idea as well. So, who's going to speak for we Catholics? Father Robert Barron, who is now Bishop Barron, who argued along the lines of the great Swiss Catholic theologian that he refers to by default, Hans Urs von Balthasar. If you've never read him, you should. And if you haven't, at least learn to pronounce his name. Hans Urs von Balthasar. It's fun to say. There is a reasonable hope that all men are saved. And we should indeed hope that hell is empty. This differs from the doctrine of universal salvation because von Balthasar and his disciples don't deny that eternal damnation is a possibility. Nor do they question the existence of hell. What they are saying is that there is a reasonable hope that no one has actually rejected God definitively, lastly and completely, refusing to repent of their sins, the condition that makes damnation not only possible, but indeed necessary. Out of charity, our hope should be that no one has made that firm choice against God. and for eternal separation from Him, that's what we call hell. We then got counter-arguments from both the Catholic and the Protestant writers stating that since Jesus talks about the reality of hell and condemnation quite plainly, and from the Catholic side, since private revelations such as Mary's words spoken at Fatima also mention hell and damnation as near and present dangers, we should take these words at face value, that at least some are or shall be lost. Now, one of these days, I'm going to write a book. And the working title is The Missouri Hillbilly's Guide to Catholic Church and Its Theology. You know, I'm not Hans von Balthasar. I'm a hillbilly. As I said above, I've always found this a rather pointless argument, that hell is a reality and condemnation is possible. Well, that's good enough for me. Whether hell is full or not is way above my pay grade. My job at this point is to cooperate with God's grace so I'm not personally condemned. And as a Catholic priest, I'm here to help others through word, through sacrament, through my ministry, to avoid that fate as well. I'm not offended or scandalized by the theological discussion, and I don't question the orthodoxy of those who hold to von Balthasar's thesis. I just see it as sort of beside the point. Like asking how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. I will admit that I've thought, what would it be like if von Balthasar was right, and up to now, no one has actually ever been condemned? And that led me to, what if I end up being the first? Won't I feel stupid and pretty lonely? Anyway, what Jesus does say in response to the question is that we should be more concerned with the road that leads to salvation and less about what the success rate is of those who travel it. This is the moment, right now, to accept Jesus. And we shouldn't lose that moment. He does say that of those who try, many will fail. Jesus also says that the time to respond is limited, which should make us think twice this morning. But there is a wider issue at work as well. Jesus makes reference to people standing outside looking in at the heavenly banquet, people who assumed that their ticket had already been punched. They were supposed to get into the feast. He was making direct reference to the Jews of his own time, who assumed that because they were children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that their salvation was all but secure. And it's the Gentiles that would be excluded. But here in Jesus' story, the roles are reversed. And it is the Gentiles sitting at the table in the heavenly banquet and the children of Israel looking in through the windows. Okay, now I need a big caution. Big editorial note, okay? Big editorial note. We need to be careful here. We, as Catholics, believe that the Jewish people will eventually recognize Jesus as Lord and Messiah, taking their rightful place in the kingdom of God. If you don't believe me, read the closing chapters of Paul's book, Romans, and it is in fact the prerequisite for Jesus to return in glory according to the Catholic Church's catechism. I'll even give you the paragraph, paragraph 674. But just as some Jews of Jesus' time forgot the words of Isaiah that we heard this morning in the first reading, that the Lord comes to gather all the nations into his kingdom, and Israel is meant to prepare the way, we as Catholics can take our salvation for granted because, well, we're Catholics. We have valid sacraments. We have apostolic succession. We have the fullness of truth. And all this is true. But we were called and are called to be the light of the world, making the invitation to others to join us in enjoying these graces. We are called to live the works of mercy, continuing Jesus' mission to proclaim the presence of the kingdom by word and by deed. If we don't do these things, well, Jesus makes it kind of clear, the door will be closed on us. Jesus calls us to perseverance. He calls us not to be slack in following the gospel. The time is short, and the moment is now to take the initiative to living the faith we profess or will profess in about 2 minutes in the words of the Nicene Creed. Folks, there is a real enemy. Now, he is not of flesh and blood. He is of the spiritual realm. We call him the devil, who wishes to divert us off the path. We must stay the course, while at the same time being a sign of hope to others. There isn't any time for a break, a short vacation, turning back. We must keep on following the Lord where he leads. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, he or she who perseveres to the end shall be saved. Perseveres to the end. I'm reminded of a story about General Patton, who towards the end of World War II followed a policy of nonstop pursuit of the enemy, never stopping to consolidate forces or turning back to reinforce already conquered land. I had an uncle who traveled with Patton across Europe in a pair of boots that he had to tape together to keep the sole on the tops. They were moving that fast. Patton's philosophy was to keep the enemy on the run, never allowing them a chance to regroup or catch their breath for a counteroffensive. When asked why he did this, since the war seemed to be winding down, Patton reputedly said that those who lay back a bit, assuming the enemy is already defeated, risk a rude awakening. Well, many of his fellow officers, by his estimation, did not realize that, in his words, we can still lose this war. And there was an expletive in there that I left out. Some of us have not, as of yet, put our spiritual enemy on the run. In fact, just last night, some of us were eating pizza and wings and drinking beer with our sworn enemy. I shall not name names. Whether hell is empty or full, the possibility of eternal death is real. I certainly pray that all people turn or return to the Lord and enjoy the eternal light of the heavenly kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth we are promised in the resurrection. But the possibility of loss should not be denied. Absolutely, we should turn or return to the Lord out of love and not fear. But these are Jesus' words, not mine. He is the one speaking of doors being closed and the anguish of separation. It is for us to heed these words and allow His grace to transform our lives so we may persevere along the road, the narrow road of love. If that happens, then the question of who is damned and who is saved truly becomes moot for you and for me. So, as Joanne should have said, welcome to St. Cyril's. This is the Sunday of hard words. Amen.